Hello and welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. I want to start by reading you something. It affected me and I want to share it. It's called "This is the Sign You Were Waiting For." The universe doesn't make mistakes. Your path, your timing, your heart, it's all purposeful. The plot twists in your story aren't accidents. They're alignments. Every not yet is protecting you. Every no is guiding you. Every wait is preparing you. Trust the delays. Trust the detours. Trust the divine redirections. Your path isn't wrong. It's perfectly crafted for who you are becoming. Okay, so now let me talk about last week. Some days I feel positive. Some days I feel angry. Some days I feel sad. Basically, I don't know how I'm gonna feel one day. A lot's been happening. I'm redirecting my path all because of my husband leaving, and it's been rough. It's been rough, but also very eye-opening for my patterns, for what I've been doing. As I've said before, this is the first time that I'm really doing this for me. Okay, so last week I stepped into action. So even on my days off, you know, I'm working in San Diego, working at the hotel, and then on my days off, I drove to LA super early in the morning because you don't know about traffic, and I had an interview there at like a restaurant, cafe. I leave here, San Diego, when it's still dark, like 5 a.m. And I get there very early. The restaurant cafe is in downtown LA, and I haven't been to downtown in a really long time. And really, is any downtown nice? You know, there are nice areas, but when I entered LA, I saw all these tents and my heart dropped. I'm like, oh no, like, do I want to do this here? You know, do I want to work in this area? And that's the sad truth of what's happening in pretty much every city. You know, all these rents, everything's being inflated, and there's more and more homeless. So I'm driving through, and I was talking to a friend as I was driving, and I'm like, oh no, like, this is not looking great, you know. And then I'm driving around because I have to find parking, because everything is impossible with parking. I find a spot, and then I head my way to the cafe. It's a beautiful, huge restaurant. Everything is white marble. The pastry case has like 13 new pastries that are just being filled, right? Like, they just opened maybe 15 minutes ago. So everything's like being filled. The staff is there, you know, they're chatting a little bit. And then I say, I'm early, I'm here for an interview, but it's not for like another 40 minutes, you know. So I started talking to one of the employees, you know, saying I'm here for the interview. And, you know, and then I say, do you like working here? How long have you worked here? And we start this whole conversation. He's like, do you want coffee? I'm like, yes. So he's like, let me make you one. And then he starts talking and telling me everything. And I say, where's the best place to park? You know, and he shows me close by, even though it's still like $14 a day. And he tells me all the kind of insides, you know, of the place. He says they just changed the menu for pastry. So he's excited to see all these new creations. And he has his whole sheet of what they're creating so he can explain it to the customers. So I start looking and they're filling it. And it's this beautiful chocolate cup. It's filled with a mousse. And so it's a pina colada cup. So it has like a white chocolate mousse, a chocolate base. It's filled with like a coconut, pineapple filling. And it's got this flower on top, like very delicate looking. Next to that is this beautiful layered cake topped with this white mirror glaze. But you can see all the layers. There's seven different layers. There's like a croquant, there's a mousse, chocolate layer. Very, very beautiful. Like there's pinks, there's reds, there's whites. And I'm like, wow, like these are beautiful pastries. And I was getting excited, you know. So when I first started entering downtown, I'm thinking, oh my God, you know. But then I see these creations and I'm thinking, wow, like, you know, this is good. Like they're making beautiful things. I want to be a part of that. So before I see the person who I was supposed to interview, the manager comes out and she introduces herself. And then we sit down and she asks me just interview questions regarding how I interact with people, what are the best scenarios. Like, so we go over, she asked me all these questions and I think I answer pretty well. And then she's like, okay, great. You know, so we then go across the street. So it's downtown LA, right? You've got all these high-rise buildings. And instead of the pastry kitchen being in the same restaurant, like the building, so what happened was it ended up growing so fast because the pastries are so popular, they needed more room. So we go across the street, like kind of diagonally. Obviously, we don't walk across diagonally. But we go over two streets and then there's a building. We enter and we go to the basement in the elevator. She opens the door and it's this giant kitchen in the basement. If you thought the place you worked was large, this is large. Like, I don't know what to compare it to, but like now the place I work at the Hotel Del Coronado, the pastry kitchen again is in the basement and it's big. You know, like walking back and forth just to the oven, my table, oven, table. I mean, I'm exhausted at the end of the day. But this pastry kitchen was like four times the size of that. And they had everything. So you walk in, there's the office, and that's where they have a family meal, which is made in the restaurant. So they make fresh pasta, salads, you know, and you grab what you want come family mealtime. And then, so we passed, so there's an office, and then you keep walking straight. On the left, there's a whole viennoiserie section. So they've got this sheeter, you know, somebody's sheeting croissant dough. Next to him is somebody making breads. Next to him is someone making donuts. Next to him is someone making other breads. I just saw all these doughs and ovens, and so that's on the left side. And then when you keep walking straight, there's a chocolate room on the side, which she briefly opened, and we go in perfect temperature for chocolate, like nice and cold. And that person wasn't in yet, but they make bonbons there. They do all the like chocolate decorations. Everything's made in-house. And then you walk out of that room, continue straight, and there's a whole macaron section. So you've got this machine that pipes out all the macaron. You know, so you put the filling in and then it pipes out maybe, I don't know, 20 like macarons at once, you know, onto the parchment. And they're all different colors, you know, obviously. So they've got all these different racks with different piped, like colored pipe macarons, and they're sitting to dry, you know, because you want to dry them out before you start baking them. So there's two people and they're just dealing with macaron like all day, right? Making fillings, using day-old egg whites like you're supposed to. And then so that's that side. And then you walk to the left and then there's the whole pastry side, you know, whereas before it was all the doughs. So here you've got all these tables with all these scales and there's maybe like 20 people. They're mirror glazing the cakes. They're cutting cakes. They're filling batters, you know, just all the stuff, right? And it's so many people. And then next to them, you've got an area where they just fill the baked macaron, and it's like six people just filling all day. Next to them is a person making pasta dough. And it's just this huge operation. You've got one walk-in freezer just for storing macarons, all different colors. Like, I've never seen something like this. You know, it was very intricate. They make everything. And it was very impressive for the amounts of what is covered. I meet with the pastry chef. He shows me everything. He explains everything. He asks me all these questions. You know, basically what I'm looking for, what pay, what hours, you know, and I'm upfront about teaching, like I want to do that as well. He asks me how I am with staff and people, because this is for a pastry chef position. So there's already, he's the executive pastry chef, but they're looking for another pastry chef to be out there trying to help everyone finish, be on task, make sure everything's organized, while the executive pastry chef kind of handles the office side, organizes other things, orders. It's such a large operation. I guess I'd be the sous, but it's not. It's like a pastry chef title. Basically, he just wants me to be versatile in everything, which I am production-wise. So then he's like, can you come back tomorrow to stage? And I knew this would happen in advance, you know, so because I drove up to LA on a Tuesday and then I came back Wednesday evening. So I say, yes, I can come in and stage. He says, can you be here at 6 a.m.? I'm like, yes, I can. In my mind, I'm like, fuck, you know, because it's so freaking early. But I'm like, it's fine. Like, it's not the earliness that, you know, is crazy to me. I was just already up so early and driving, and I'm thinking, yes, like, I can do it. After that, like, I leave, like, I'm feeling pretty positive. After that, I drove to the Huntington Park. It's like a Huntington Library, and they have these huge botanical gardens. And I'd never been there before, even when I lived in L.A. I lived in L.A. for 5 years, and now I got to go. A friend of mine, she's a curator there, and she invited me. I spent the rest of the day in the park. Beautiful, beautiful park. It's an original grounds from Henry Huntington, who owned the railroad, right? So this is his estate. There's a mansion on there, like several buildings. And now this whole estate and area has become a museum and botanical gardens. So they've got these beautiful lily ponds. They've got this whole like kind of palm tree jungle area. They've got this rose garden, like big, big rose garden. I've been to a lot of rose gardens, but this was huge. They've got this butterfly area. They've got original sculptures from Europe and this greenery, like beautiful lawn where you walk down to this fountain with all these sculptures, you know, of like classic French sculptures of people, you know, historical people as you walk down the lawn. This whole park was super impressive and I loved it. You know, and I met my friend in between because she was working, and then she got me lunch because she gets a discount at work, and it was a really good lunch. You know, this delicious salad. It was this heirloom tomato salad with cheese bits and olives and this focaccia bread. Everything was perfect. I just spent the rest of the day walking around with flowers. The highlight for me were the Chinese gardens. I've never been to Chinese gardens this size. In Japan, there's also Japanese gardens. In Japan, I went to temples, you know, and that was amazing because you have these huge grounds, right? But here, this was a beautiful replica, kind of imitating that size, like replicating the size of in Japan, in China. So I just walked around. And I was so tired at the end. It also got very hot. Like in LA, it tends to be maybe 15, 20 degrees hotter than in San Diego. you know, it's this huge city, right? So at the end, I'm so tired. And then I drive because my friend lives in Thousand Oaks. So I drove, took about an hour. By the time I got to house, like she made some dinner, like we hung out. And I didn't realize it was already like almost 11, you know? So it takes me about an hour to get from her place to downtown. And then you don't know with traffic. So I didn't want to risk it. So I left like an hour and a half early the next morning. So I left at like 4:40 and I had to be there at 6. I got there about 25 minutes early the next morning, drove to downtown, went to the parking lot. I got into the pastry kitchen and I started mising out for macarons because the chef told me he wanted me to make French macaron any flavor I wanted, use my recipe. The chef was a little bit late, so I just started. I asked people where certain ingredients were, and they showed me. Of course, they did not have day-old egg whites. I was thinking sabotage, you know, because that's what you need is day-old egg whites. If you use fresh egg whites, the surface can get cracks in it. The feet may not be as high from the French macaron. So it's called feet, like the side. When you bake French macarons, they lift up. Okay, so that lift is called feet. So when you use fresh egg whites, sometimes you don't have any or very small feet. You know, so I'm thinking, oh my God, I hope this turns out. So I like start torching the egg whites in the KitchenAid to warm them up, to get them to room temperature, because of course they were cold. So I do everything I know how, like trick-wise, right? I mix it, I whip it, I add my food coloring to get this beautiful pink color. I decide the flavor I want is rose. I fold everything in. I don't overfold. I get it to the perfect consistency where it's a constant flow, right? Like when you fold in your egg whites, it shouldn't be too stiff, right? You want your filling to flow, and it's almost like this ribbon effect. It's a constant flow and pouring of the batter. And that's when you know it's reached the right viscosity. Okay, and that's when you put it in your piping bag and you start piping. So I do that. I let them dry out even more time than I think. Minimum, you want them to dry out if you're making French macaron. You let them dry out for 30 minutes minimum. But I let them dry out for like an hour 20. You know, so like I'm going to just let them dry out a long time. And then they let me use their oven, which is a type of oven that you can be killed in. You know, it's this giant door. You put a full rack in there and it turns. So, you know, someone could murder you in it, like push you in and basically close the door and you die in an oven. Like that is one of my nightmares. These ovens are so scary to me. Fortunately, I only put the macarons in. There were no people involved in going into the oven. And this to me is risky because I don't know this oven, right? And I piped my macaron a little bit larger than they do. Their time that they do and their mixture, they've got it down, right? It's a science. So I'm kind of guessing on my amount of time. I even go lower. They bake their macaron at 350 and they do Italian style macarons, which is a different technique. They heat their sugar and they fold it in. I did French macaron, which means I didn't heat any sugar. I added it straight to my egg whites. Anyway, they're all different techniques, right? So I had them lower the oven to like 320 and I put my macarons in. I baked them for 12 minutes. They baked theirs for 16 minutes, which I'm like, wow, this is, they go a high heat, like 350 and 16 minutes. So I'm thinking, no, I don't know, but I got to go 320 and I start at 14 minutes, you know, and it depends on your oven, right? So that's the scary part about staging. Once you start working in the kitchen, You know the recipes, you know the times, you know the ovens, right? It's kind of stressful because you want it to look good, you want it to turn out. Fortunately, they look great. I got a good height on them, even though I used the day-old egg whites. The feet came out, not the height I would like, but that was because of the fresh eggs, the fresh whites. Still, I was very pleased with them. None of them cracked. The tops were perfect. I let them cool down, and then the chef had me do some other things, right? So I made a vanilla crémeux. I piped out some pâte à choux with some other workers. I did multiple tasks. The kitchen is not as organized as far as where you scale out versus where the ingredients are. So there's a lot of running around. The kitchen where I'm at now, the chef is very organized and he created the kitchen in a way that it has some flow. This kitchen in downtown LA had less flow, so I was running around so much, and this kitchen is huge. Anyway, I completed everything I needed to. He also wanted me to make a mini Saint Honoré, which is a puff pastry bottom. And then you fill it with cream puffs, mini, mini cream puffs, which I had to fill, which was kind of silly because, you know, the shell, when they're so small, the shell is still kind of thick. So there wasn't much filling that really fit inside. I dipped those into caramel, but the caramel started browning very, very quickly. And because it's a hard caramel, I don't want to add water to it, you know, to let it brown slower, because then the water is going to make it sticky and get stuck in the teeth. So I had to take it off the heat earlier and then let it start cooling down slower so that it didn't burn, because the first round got too dark. So I had to make another batch. Anyway, like, that was frustrating me. I dipped all the cream puffs, and then he gave me this vanilla bean crémeux, and I filled it with a Saint Honoré tip. It did end up looking really nice, and he just wanted to see how I create things, because that's what he's going to want me to do. So then we talked. He started talking like smack about one of the employees, so I'm thinking, oh, this is a good sign. Like, I'm in, right? Like, this is positive. And then he's like, you know, what do you think? And I was super tired at this point, so I wasn't like super enthusiastic. I was just like, yeah, I can do it. I can do it, you know, but I wasn't, I'm not a fake person, right? Like, I'm not going to be super, oh my God, it was insane. I was so, you know, I felt so amazing. Like, I didn't do any of that. I'm just like, yeah, you know, it was good. And trying to sound like I want it, you know. And it's not that I don't, like, I do want it. At the same time, I just fucking need a job, you know, like, and I want it to pay more than I'm currently making. Like, that's the whole point. He's like, you know, I like you. I like your work. He's like, I think you can do this. And then he says, I'm going on vacation next week. You know, talk to the manager, and then they'll be in touch with you. So I leave, right, after staging for 6 hours. They did pay me, because back in the day when you would stage, they didn't pay you. But that's illegal, especially for California law. Like, they have to pay you even if it's a stage. And by the way, a stage means they're, like, testing you, right? They're seeing how you work and what you do. Because when I started as a chef, like, early, you know, 2000s, they didn't pay you, you know, and you made like $10 an hour. Anyway, they paid me. I spoke to the manager and he said they'll be in touch. I'm like, okay, great, you know. Also, the vibe in the kitchen was funny. You know, in most kitchens where I've worked, there's mainly Spanish music playing. Nothing against Spanish music, but that is the trend. Here in this kitchen, it was like street music, you know, like gangsta. It was very hip hop, but I was digging the vibe. And I thought, wow, this is the complete opposite of the typical kitchen music that's playing. So it's like 2:30, and that's after that I start leaving LA and decide to drive back to San Diego because my map says it's going to take about 3.5 hours. It's supposed to only take 2.5, you know, but already this traffic is starting. So I try to get out of downtown LA as fast as I can. It ended up taking me 4.5 hours to get back. When I got home, I was so tired and I just laid down right away. I just laid down. The next day, I had to work here at the hotel. You know, so that day I was super tired. The next day, I go to work and I'm just like, fuck, you know, I did it. I pulled through. But then the next day, I start feeling kind of like intense. Because the only reason I'm doing this, it's like I'm in survival mode. The only reason I'm doing this is because my ex walked out on me, right? It activated this whole thing. And so I went through these different emotions every day. Instead of having a day off, here I am trying to create my future, right? So that I can transition smoothly. But to do that, I have to drive back and forth. So I worked Wednesday at the hotel. Thursday, I took another day off. And by the way, at this point, I have some vacation days at the hotel, but my vacation days are not actual vacation. It's going back and forth to LA. So Thursday, I drove to LA again, early morning. I left at like 5 a.m. This time, I drove up to the Sylmar area, which is North LA. I had an interview at Mission College. It's a community college. I applied maybe like a month and a half ago. I applied at quite a few community colleges because that's what I enjoy. I enjoy teaching, right? My goal is, okay, I want to start doing more acting. That's why I picked LA, right? I used to do acting and I want to do more of that. So I'm gonna try it, right? I'm doing this transition for me. I drive there, I go to the school, I'm early, always a good sign. That means there wasn't an excessive amount of traffic. So I'm waiting. I get called in to this teaching and demo lecture room. They have me sit. I'm facing like the benches, right? Where the students normally sit, or the chairs. There's like 3 chefs, a dean, and they all ask me different questions. You know, how do I handle this situation? How do I handle that situation? How do I deal with cultural differences? And, you know, all these kind of politically correct situations. And, I mean, this isn't my first rodeo, right? So I think I answer pretty well. And then they're like, are you ready to demo? And by the way, I was wearing a dress, right? Like I was thinking, do I wear a chef's coat? Do I wear like the typical, you know, uniform that you wear to teach? And I thought, no, I'm going to wear a dress. But then I thought, well, I have to wear like safe shoes, right? Because I'm doing a demo and I have to bring a chef's coat because when I do the demo. So I started putting the chef's coat over my dress and then I had my shoes on already, right? Which didn't look too cute with my dress. But I was like, I want to just look nice, right? So it was a cute dress, professional. So I put on my chef's coat. They had everything scaled out, all the ingredients. So I like position everything. This is a demo kitchen. And then they say, let us know when you're ready. We will time you for 10 minutes. And they told me in advance that they want me to make pastry cream. Pastry cream is easy enough, right? Like one of the most basic things and important things you can learn in the pastry kitchen because you use it pretty much every day or every other day. So I positioned everything how I needed it. They had a stove. I put in the saucepan. The thing is, yes, it's easy, but there's a lot of different steps that you have to cover. right? Like, why do you split your sugars? There's half sugar you put into the milk. There's half sugar you put into the egg yolks. You know, this is so that the milk does not burn in the saucepan. The other half is you put it in your yolks so that your yolks cook evenly. You know, so I'm covering all the scientific aspects and then what tempering is, you know, why you temper, what temperature you have to mix it to, like all these steps. And before I know it, like I'm heating my milk, but it's not even fully simmering, right? It has to simmer before I can temper it. And then one of the chefs says, okay, 2 minutes left. And I'm thinking, what the fuck? Like, I have no time. So I just start being myself, you know, not that I wasn't before, but I was hitting all the right steps, right? Scientifically, and explaining it the way you're supposed to learn it. But then she's like, 2 minutes. And I'm like, okay, I got to do this quickly. And I turn up the heat, you know, and I'm using the 2 minutes because I'm not like, now I got to just rush it, right? Like you do in every kitchen anyway. So I was fully prepared for that, kind of. I didn't think that I was talking that much, but 10 minutes flies by when you don't want it to. I made it just in time. I strained my pastry cream, and then they're like, time's up. And I say, did I fail? And like laugh. And they're like, no, chef, you basically finished it. Like they're on my side, you know? So I'm like, oh, good. Like, you know, they didn't think I did that badly. So then I'm like, thank you so much, you know? And by the way, you're supposed to cool your pastry cream over an ice bath, and they didn't even have ice. So before I had started, I said, is there any ice? You know, so I was covering all the right steps. Like I wash my hands, I sanitize the surface, everything perfectly. Okay, so I shake their hands, I leave, and I see the next person about to be interviewed because they had a whole like roster. So I'm thinking, okay, time was against me a little bit, but I did what I came to do. I covered everything and I started driving back. But before I drove to San Diego, I met with a friend. She is a casting director, and we went to acting school together in New York. She's been casting for like the past 15 years. So I decided to meet with her, and she graciously met with me. And she basically told me what's going on. You know, I'm union. I'm part of the Screen Actors Guild still because I was paying my dues this whole time, even though I wasn't acting. You know, so she told me everything, kind of the best things to do, right, to get the most work. And then she said she'll reach out to someone that she knows to help represent me, which I didn't ask for. Like, that was super nice. You know, and we talked for like over an hour, you know, which was really nice. And then I drove back, and then I drove to San Diego. And again, that took like 4 hours. It took so long. Like driving back takes forever. And this was on a weekday. So I get back, I just park my car. The phone rings, my cell phone rings. Obviously, not a landline. We don't have those anymore. And it was one of the chefs from the college that I interviewed for. He says, you did a great job today. It was a pleasure meeting you, and we'd like to move forward with you. And I say, wow, you know, that's amazing. Thank you so much. I say, that's amazing. Thank you so much. And I felt so positive, you know, like I used that day the best way I could, even though it took me pretty much all day to drive there and back for a 30-minute interview. But I just felt super positive, and I messaged my ex. You know, we're kind of, I don't know, like he still reaches out to me. I'm not saying that's negative, but it's been hard for me, you know, and because some days I'm like not feeling it. Some days I'm angry and I don't really want to talk or message, but he obviously still cares. He's trying to figure things out in his own way. But it's hard. It's hard. I'm used to cold turkey, right? Like, you leave and that's it. But there's still this connection. And of course, when good things happen, he's the first person I want to share it with, you know, and that's super hard. So I say, they want to move forward with me. I got the job. And he's like, I'm so proud of you. And then that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because I made it happen, but I had to. I had no other choice, you know, and him leaving the way he did unexpectedly, I didn't want that. So him saying he's proud of me makes me think, well, do you get to be proud of me? And I guess that kind of festered. And the next day, my mood all of a sudden changed, you know, and I was upset because of his decision. This is like a chain reaction for my whole life, you know, like now I have to make more money because I have to pay more bills. Like now I'm single, right? Like I got to figure out my stuff only because of the decision he made. And that was really hard for me to deal with, you know, especially the next day. So then I didn't hear anything back from this restaurant. You know, I go work. Like I didn't have any days off because every day I'm driving, I'm doing something. And now I'm working every day. And now the chef wants to know what's going on. Did I get the job? You know, because he wants to be able to hire new people and I have to put in an official resignation. But I say, I can't do that yet. You know, I will let you know in a couple weeks. Right now, I don't have the answer, you know. So he's like, okay. You know, so I'm feeling pressure from all sides, right? I have to get a job, otherwise I can't move. And it has to be in the perfect time because I have to give 30 days notice at the apartment I'm in so that we're able to get a deposit back. You know, like just all these different deadlines. And it stresses me out, you know. So doing all that plus working, I made myself sick. You know, I was lacking sleep. And then the last couple days after all those interviews, after I came home from work, I just went to bed. And I slept for like 11 hours, you know, because I needed it. So then week goes by, kind of, right? Today is 1 week later after I staged. And I message, like I email the manager and I say, I'm just checking in, you know, did you decide, you know, to go with me or not? Like, just, you know, just wanted to know if you made a decision. And then he responds saying, you know, thank you so much. We would like you to have another interview with corporate. And I'm thinking, okay, I didn't know there was another interview, but okay, this is positive, right? Like, I've passed all the interviews so far, and now this is another interview. And I'm thinking, God damn it. Like, I just want to know. So that's scheduled for next week. So yesterday was move out day of storage. So my ex and I, we have our storage. It's mainly my stuff, but he has some things in there. And we had decided, you know, if he could help me take the things out, because he has a large van, which makes things a lot easier. And at this point, I'm still like festering, right? And this is a big day because moving out of storage, yes, is storage, but it's a storage that we had together. And I moved out a month in advance because it's $200 a month. Like, that's $200 I can use for something better, right? So I'm thinking, okay, I'm starting to go through all my things in the apartment. I'm starting to donate things and I'm going through things. Like, all these memories of stuff that I have, like, I'm starting to realize I don't need all these things. And that is a huge deal for me. So I made space for the items in storage. He catches my vibe. You know, he's kind of cheery when he sees me, which I think is weird because this is not a cheery day, you know, like not for me. So we start clearing out storage. I give kind of short answers. He's all tanned because he had another barbecue with his friends, which were my friends, but no longer are my friends, you know, which is a sore topic for me because I don't have any friends here. You know, I moved here. And all the time I had, I spent with him because I wanted to spend time with him. Wrong approach, right? Like, I see that now. Like, I'm seeing a lot of things, and this is a huge time for me as far as the things I did and my patterns, and I'll get into that a little bit. But we empty it out, we drop all the things off in my apartment, and now I'm like almost crying because closing, ending the storage, it's a sign like, okay, this is definitely over, right? Like, this relationship is over. And now my whole living room is full. Like, it looks different in storage than it does in my apartment. Now my apartment's a mess, and just to empty storage. And there's a lot of the market things that I had, and just a lot of things that I planned for different things. Like, if we moved out together into a bigger place that had a yard, like I had a hammock, and just I saved things for different reasons because I thought of our future together, right? But no, that was not the case, you know? So I'm feeling super sensitive and I'm like, don't cry in front of him. Like, please don't cry in front of him. So we fill the apartment and then we have to go back because I have to clean it out and take out the rest of his things. So we go back in the van and I go in the van with him instead of my separate car. And then basically we start an argument, or maybe I started it. And we have this big discussion because the reasons why he left, like, it's not a reason for me to leave. Like, for me, when you're in a marriage, I guess our definitions of marriage are different. You know, or I don't know, but we had this big argument and or discussion, however you want to see it. And then after that, I felt better. Maybe I just needed to have it. I won't get into the details of it. We emptied out the storage. I cleaned it. We closed it. And then we went to get our agreement. I created this agreement for separation and we went to get that notarized. So that was a big step, too. You know, basically planning for divorce agreement kind of things. And after that, you know, I say, like, I really just wanted a future with you, you know. And then, of course, I start crying and he holds my hand. And the point is, he's not capable to be the person I need him to be. You know, like, I'm advancing in a certain way. I'm going through what I'm going through, right? Everyone goes through things in a different way. And when you're in a marriage or relationship, you think, okay, that person's there. You can go through it together. But no, the person has their own things they're going through and their own reasons, right? And it just threw me. It threw me a curveball that I didn't expect and I didn't see it coming. And just all those feelings that arise when someone leaves a relationship, you know? Like, all those dreams you had together, all those just visions of the future, right? Now that's not happening. So he's like, I want to help you. Just let me help you. And okay, you know, I go back into the apartment. That day I have therapy, which was perfect timing. And it was through therapy that I realized I am going through so many different things. And I realized together, if I were still together with him, I would not be going through these things. I would not be sorting through my stuff. I would not be able to donate, you know? Like, the reasons why it happened, it's almost perfect. Or maybe it is. It's perfect. It's happening the way it's happening for him to solve his issues and for me to solve my attachment issues, right? And I looked back and I realized all of these moves I've been doing for someone else, I've never done them for myself. Or I did them because I had to, right? Like, survival. Like, the first time I left LA when I got divorced, I had to leave. And I've never been able to sort through my things. There's never a good time to sort through them because when you feel good, you're not going to go and sort out things. Like, at least I don't. I want to be outside, right? So now, for the first time, I'm detaching from things. And I'm thinking to myself, do I need this? Do I not need this? I'm giving things to friends. I'm selling things and making space. And this is a huge deal for me. And it was in therapy that I started crying for the person that I was, you know, like I'm already changing. I'm bettering myself, right? I'm realizing, okay, I can make these changes. I can do this. You know, I can act. I can change my life. And I can empower myself and put this energy in myself, right? I'm doing more pole dancing. I'm losing weight. I'm eating better. I'm not using my energy on my partner. I'm using it for myself. And that's what you should always do. The thing is, right? Like, we get so wrapped up in, oh, I you know, I want to do this for my partner. I want to do that, you know? Yes, you do things for each other when you're in a relationship, but you don't forget about yourself, right? So the reasons I moved here and I formed my life around my ex, okay? So I'm realizing these were not the right reasons. But I did it because I've had so many failed relationships that I thought, okay, I'm going to do all the right steps to have this not fail. And of course, it fails anyway. You know, there are no right or wrong steps. The right thing is always to do what you love, to do what is important to you, right? I'm feeling so good because I'm pole dancing again, because I'm doing the things I love to do, because now I'm thinking about acting again. And the last time I drove to LA and I saw Hollywood, you know, I got excited. I'm like, yes, you know, yes, I'm here again. Like, it took 15 years to come back. But I'm doing it, and I'm doing it for myself. And I cried for myself for the reasons I was holding on to my things, the reasons I couldn't let go, you know? But I am making room for new things. And this is kind of the first time I'm seeing that. And no, of course I'm not getting rid of everything. I have nice things. I have this beautiful copper Maviel saucepan that I think I got for like $80, you know, like 15 years ago. But now it's worth like $500, you know. And just the things that are important to me, the things I love, I'm not getting rid of. But I don't have to get rid of everything. It's not about getting rid of just to get rid of it. You know, it's like some things I just don't need anymore. So I saw this beautiful quilt and I thought, okay, maybe my friend can use this better. And I gave it to her and she put it in the guest room and the whole room ties together and it looks perfect, right? There's this painting I painted when I had my first car accident and I know a friend of mine loves it. So I thought of mailing it to her. Like, I don't need to have all the things I love in one place. Because what if all these things burn down? Then they're gone anyway. It's just stuff. Yes, it's hard. Yes, I don't want it to burn down. But what I'm saying is we put so much weight on stuff, you know? And I'm not saying I'm like a Buddha now. No, like, I like my things, right? I like my cute, like, china that I can drink my coffee in. I like my KitchenAids. I like my Maviel pan, you know, but I don't need all of it. Therapy was really important to me because I saw myself becoming something I've never been before. And I'm like shedding, right? Like, I went to the San Diego Zoo yesterday and I saw this snake, this python, and its head like came off like the shedding skin. And I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm not saying I'm a python, but I am changing. I'm bettering myself. And I'm doing it for myself. And now I'm excited. Right? Things are slowly coming together. Yes, I'm nervous as hell. Yes, I'm scared as hell. But I'm also like, wow, this can really happen. And yes, yesterday was sad, the closing of storage. But you know what? I can't go back now. This is happening. And this is underway. Like, there's no going back. This is my plan and it's happening. And I'm doing it for me. And instead of clinging to somebody because, you know, I want to be in a relationship, I'm bettering myself. And then maybe I'll meet somebody who sees me for me and is okay with me pole dancing and is okay with me acting and all these things that I love to do. Because you don't change for a person. You do the things you love to do, and then you meet the right person who compliments you, right? Who makes you blossom even more. And I feel like this is how it's meant to be. And I've never been at this point before. I haven't. You know, there's parts of my life that have opened up, but not in this way. So things are shifting, okay? Like, I'm not at the end of it yet, but I am definitely underway, and I'm just seeing it more and more, and it's exciting. And there's something else I want to read. It's called Real Love Doesn't Chase. The capacity to be alone is the capacity to love. It may look paradoxical to you, but it's not. It is an existential truth. Only those people who are capable of being alone are capable of love, of sharing, of going into the deepest core of another person without possessing the other, without becoming dependent on the other, without reducing the other to a thing, and without becoming addicted to the other. They allow the other absolute freedom because they know that if the other leaves, they will be as happy as they are now. Their happiness cannot be taken by the other because it is not given by the other. Isn't that amazing? I understand it. I'm understanding it now. Like, logically, I understood it before. But just emotionally, I truly understand it. And today, I had an amazing day. Like, I feel so just yin and yang, right? I never know how I'm going to wake up. And today, I went to kayak. In a real kayak, not my inflatable. I found someone to kayak with, because I've been wanting to do this all year, and it's to kayak in the La Jolla Caves. La Jolla is like an upscale area. It's right on the ocean, and there are these cliffs. The cliffs have these caves, and you can kayak through them. Meanwhile, this is ocean water, right? So it's like pretty intense, because there's waves rushing through the caves, and your kayak's kind of hitting the walls, the rock walls. You know, and the waves are hitting you and you're super wet. Like, it was such a rush and amazing. I did that today and I'm so glad I did it. Like, I know that I'm leaving San Diego and I love San Diego. It's a beautiful place. But I'm excited to be closer with my friends, to have a social life and not just do it by myself. You know, to just be with friends that I've known for almost 20 years and after work catch up and just have more of a social life instead of focusing everything on who I'm with or my relationship. Because the places I've moved, I haven't had my friends. I've figured out by doing things by myself. But now everything's shifting and changing, and I'm so happy I went kayaking today. That's my big realization. Do things you love and do it for you. That's it. Thank you so much for listening to Kat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. Until next time.